In the name of Jesus. You are well aware that even in the church, how it is and how it ought to be are usually not the same thing. For that reason, God comes to his fallen race with two words, the word of the law and the word of the gospel. As you also know and confess, the latter of those two words is by far the greater. It is for the sake of the gospel that there is any point at all in God even talking to us and dealing with us. Were it not for the gospel and for the sake of the elect, why should the world even stand? Today's lesson punctuates the difference between those two, the law and the gospel. Though the gospel must predominate, it needs the preparation of the law. Beloved, Jude writes in an earlier verse, although I was very eager to write you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. In other words, it was necessary to deal with matters involving such contention. As troubled as the world and our lives are, you would think it shouldn't be necessary even to be reminded that we are in the midst of it all the time and reminded every day by what we see around ourselves. But that mirror is necessary, because the human heart is unutterably wicked and is fully capable of ignoring plain evidence. The hurried pace and holiday season spirit of this season, these things do not change what is out there, and that is sin, the capstone of which is unbelief. Jude cites the Apostle Peter when he says, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. They say, according to Peter, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. What is to be done? It is so discouraging. As in the days of Noah, it seems that preaching falls on deaf ears. The hearts of many wax cold. One gets no encouragement at all from the world. These people, Jude says in an earlier verse, blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. To say it another way, they blaspheme what they don't understand, and they are destroyed by what they do. That is the condition of the world. Does this not again put you in mind of the Apostle Paul, that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God? They are foolishness and cannot be known because they are spiritually discerned. So what happens? They blaspheme what they don't understand. You too would rather speak of our common salvation. But this is where we find ourselves. You see, the trouble in our world is not only a problem of the second table of the law, man's inhumanity to man, but also of the first table, or especially of the first table, about no other gods, about remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, about not taking the name of the Lord God in vain. It is against this background of wickedness in the world, and in your own heart also, all wrought by the devil himself, that you pray every day and perhaps at every meal, "Come, Lord Jesus." And you pray it with special fervor in the Advent season. Consider Jude's letter in that light. Here, too, he speaks both to the first table and to the second. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Or again, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. What solace, what comfort, what encouragement there is in the wounds of Christ upon which we meditate. He came the first time as God incarnate, according to the promise, to take on our flesh. And he will come a second time again, according to the promise. The second time of his coming will not be to put himself under the law and sin and all condemnation in order to redeem mankind. His second coming will be in glory as the judge of all the earth to bring to its fullness, its completion, your salvation. But concerning the second table, Jude also urges his readers to build up one another. Have mercy on those who doubt, he says. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments that are stained by the flesh. And so it is that you do not withdraw into the proverbial monastery. Your service is a service of mercy. You give witness to your faith even while doing everything within your power to alleviate the sufferings that sin has brought to mankind in this body and life. The words of the Apostle Jude could well serve as the basis of our President Harrison's theme: witness, mercy, life together. Here is an Advent word of encouragement to the people of God who live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, borrowing an expression from St. Paul. He is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless. It is a sure and unshakable faith in the promises of God, and that alone which can move us to join in the doxology of Jude, the words with which he closes his epistle. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Amen.